Everyone is included. When you include everyone, you foster unity. So how does that apply to our church? Well, our church is very multicultural too. We have people coming from different backgrounds. We have Cantonese, we have English, Mandarin. We have people of different ages, children and adults. We need to ask ourselves, how do we conduct our ministry so that it will do everything without complaining or arguing? Well, we need to acknowledge our distinctiveness. Yet we need to recognize also we belong to one another. We have to recognize that we are different from one another, yet do not let those differences separate us, but how we can make an effort to achieve unity. I don't know for those of us who have been here for a few years, do you notice there are things that we practice as a church is try to bring the church together? For example, every month, at the first Sunday of the month, all the entire church come together for communion. This practice, this tradition, was established since day one of the history of the church. I don't know whether you have noticed that. Why is the English congregation always on this first Sunday of the month come back around noontime just to, you know, it seems like it's the bring up the Sunday worship and cut into part one and part two? Maybe as an English congregation, you feel that your time is being wasted. But there is a very deep purpose for that. We want the whole church to gather together to celebrate the Lord's table together. Or how about fellowship lunch? Another tradition. We encourage people to eat lunch together after Sunday worship. Not many people attend nowadays. So we promote at the last Sunday, we have a potluck lunch. So I think this practice is slowly gathering steam, you know. And I think the potluck lunch has been drawing a lot of people now. Sometimes it gets so much people that sometimes we don't have enough food to eat. But this is the whole idea. It's not the matter of just eating, but the matter of sharing a meal together. And for the last year or so, we have introduced intergenerational worship, where the whole church, children and adults, worship together at the fifth Sunday of every month, which happens four times a year. So we want to experience that children, adults, seniors, everybody to worship together. We bring all this, it's not just creating, introducing events. All these events, these worships, these measures are made to include, try to bring the church together. So I hope by drawing your attention to this, later on when you come back for the Lord's Supper, you come with a purpose. It says, this is what I want to be with, together with the rest of the body of Christ. Let me make an announcement for an upcoming event. Saturday, February the 1st, is the 1 week, the Saturday right after Chinese New Year. Chinese New Year is the last Saturday of January. February the 1st is the week after that. We are planning for a great celebration to celebrate Chinese New Year. The whole church are invited to gather together and to invite non-Christian friends to celebrate together. So to include everyone, and also for the sake of the gospel. Including everyone also go beyond our church, BCBC. It also should include into our South Asian brothers and sisters. So we look forward to bringing in the body of Christ everyone. On Tuesday, February the 4th, our church are hosting Brampton Ministerial Fellowship in our church. And that event, I would like to recruit some people who do not have to work on that day to come and help to serve maybe about 40 to 50 Brampton pastors from the whole Brampton areas so that we can have fellowship together. And I need your help. So unity is achieved by including everyone. We cannot separate ourselves by race, by color, by ethnicity. Bring everyone together as long as everyone is in Christ. All the saints are in Christ. Second, unity is achieved by humbling ourselves. In chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, Paul said, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." And then after that, it follows that familiar song that he said, "Who being in the very nature of God do not consider equality with God something to be grasped." And then this hymn that says how God, Jesus, empty himself to the lowest, and then God raise him up. Paul asked the Philippians to follow Christ's example, to humble himself to serve God's will. Jesus is the equal with God the Father, yet he humbled himself to follow the will of God the Father to the point of death on the cross. And Paul asked the church to follow Christ's example. Actually, Paul also has his own example. If you notice, in the opening address of Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul says, simply says, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. You see, in most of Paul's letter to the church, what would Paul usually say? Paul would usually say, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Paul usually, most of the letter, Paul would identify himself as the apostle of Christ Jesus. But here, Paul actually just addressed himself as servants of Christ Jesus. The Greek word for servant is doulos. Actually, it literally translated to be slaves. Paul is addressing himself as slaves of Jesus Christ. Yet when he addressed the church of Philippians, he used terms that you are saints, you are overseers, you are deacons. So you see, Paul, in this letter, especially to a church that have the issue of disunity, Paul is saying that, I humble myself. I show you by my own example that I do not use my title of apostles, but I exalt you as saints, as overseers, as deacons. In today's culture, we are used to demanding our rights. We look for self-fulfillment. Yet, can we prepare to humble ourselves for the sake of the gospel? If we are willing to humble ourselves, if we are willing to consider other people's opinion as worthy or better than ourselves, then there is the chance of unity. Can we humble ourselves for the sake of proclaiming the gospel? Can we subordinate our self-interest in the interest of Jesus Christ? Finally, unity is achieved by perseverance. Paul reminded the Philippian church and commended them of their partnership in the gospel, especially in perseverance. In verse 5, he says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. How many of you find it is easier to start something but difficult to carry it through? It is easier at the beginning of the year to join a fitness program, but it is not easy to carry out by March, April. Most of these memberships drop out. Paul commended the Philippi church for carrying out from the first day until now. And then in verse 7, it says, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. So in other words, the church stand by with Paul, whether he is in chains or whether he is proclaiming the gospel, defending, in other words, in good time or bad time, thick or thin, the church stand by with Paul. How was the Philippian church being so faithful to Paul? We see many examples in the letter. In chapter 2, the Philippi church sent, when Paul was in prison, the church sent Epaphroditus, who's a a member from the church who went to stay with Paul in jail. But it turned out that Epaphroditus, he becomes ill himself. Later on, he was so ill that Paul had to send him back. But the intention was there. And then in chapter 4, Paul says, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. When I'm in troubles, you are sharing my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the earlier days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only." You see, the Philippi church supported Paul when no other churches neglected Paul. But the church stand by with Paul. Hence, Paul and the Philippian church are united in the proclamation of the gospel. Today, we also need members who are persistent in the ministry. We need members who treat their serving as a call from God. As pastors, sometimes I feel very discouraged. A member comes to me and says, "Oh, I've been Sunday school teacher for 3 years. I think that's enough. I've served enough." But if you're good at something, do it. That's God's calling. Sometimes, you know, if everyone just wants to serve at a term or so and then decide to quit, then it's not persevering. Because maybe God is placing you as the necessary part in the whole body. And if you withdraw yourself, you hurt the body. So unity is also achieved by perseverance. In conclusion, number one, without unity, we are not worthy of the gospel. Unity in the gospel is not just one option. Unity is part of the gospel. If the church have no unity, we are not worthy of the gospel. And second, for the sake of the gospel, we need to embrace one another. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to persevere. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for calling and saving us. In your gracious choice, you have destined us to receive your salvation, and you have called us to form your church as shining stars in the universe. We are to proclaim the gospel, but we cannot do so without unity, with one heart and mind. So may your Holy Spirit bind us in this coming year. Whatever in the past we have failed, may you bind us and spur us together with a new fresh start, so that we can serve you, proclaim the gospel with one heart and mind, and the world will notice us, and the world will be drawn to you. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.